Tonight's Wednesday recap of Big Brother 19 is sponsored by Nature Box. Never be a have-not this summer. Get three free snacks with your first order at naturebox.com/RHAP. That's three free snacks from Nature Box with your first order at naturebox.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who, instead of talking this entire podcast, I'll just be brushing my teeth for the next hour. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Wednesday night recap here. And the Big Brother season is 1 week old as far as the TV show is concerned. And we have a lot to talk about over the 2 weeks or so that they've been living in the house, including everything going on in the live feeds later on in this episode. But first, let me introduce you to our great guest here tonight. She is the most recent Big Brother champion coming out of Big Brother OTT. Please welcome to the podcast for the first time, the great Morgan Willett. Morgan, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. So happy to be here chatting with you all. It's weird being out of the house and actually watching Big Brother now and not, you know, playing it. But I'm excited to be watching the season.
Okay, very excited to chat with you. Of course, Morgan is going to be on the Big Brother AfterBuzz recap, which is kicking off soon. So congratulations, Morgan, on that.
Thank you. I'm super excited.
Okay, and then the can't have a Morgan without having an Alex here. I don't have to worry about calling him the wrong name. Here is Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. Yeah, we've really been blessed with Alexes lately in the Big Brother, general sphere. It's a lot going on there.
Universe, a lot going on there. Anyway, yeah. So very excited to have you guys here with us. If you're joining us live, you can go ahead and post your questions for us during the show. Hashtag RHAP. We'll take your questions about the TV show and the live feeds all here in this episode of the podcast. Of course, you can make sure you're subscribed as well. Go to robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. We got the recap coming up tonight. And then on Thursday, we've got a fun show coming up for you on eviction night when Big Brother 14 winner Ian Terry will be back on the podcast with Brent. So it's going to be a little bit of a throwback show to, I think that was the Thursday show during BB17, Brent and Ian. So excited for that coming up tomorrow night. And on Sunday night, get this, it is not just Big Brother night on Sunday night, it's also Candy Crush night. So we have a special episode of the podcast coming up. We're going to go live after Candy Crush to talk about Big Brother 19 and Candy Crush with RHAP Hall of Famer Matt Hoffman will join us to talk about Big Brother 19 and Candy Crush. Morgan, are you excited for Candy Crush?
I am excited for it. I played it on my phone once, so I feel like I'm probably going to like the show. I don't know. Yeah. Interesting concept, but I'm excited.
I can't
wait. Mario Lopez is in.
I can't wait to podcast about Candy Crush with Matt Hoffman. So we might just be yada yadding through all the Big Brother just to get to the Candy Crush on Sunday night. So I'm really pumped up for that. If it wasn't on, it's on the same night as Big Brother. I'd love to do its own separate Candy Crush podcast, but we'll talk about Big Brother and then Candy Crush with Matt Hoffman coming up this Sunday night live. All right. So a lot to do tonight in terms of everything going on in the house, of course. Alex wins the veto. She comes down. A lot going on with Cody. First off, let me start. Morgan, were you excited to see Alex come down off the block?
I was excited to see her come off the block. And it's so funny because I went into the season and she was not one of my top picks. You know, I don't know. I watched her interviews and I was like, this chick's okay. But she's proving herself to be a force to be reckoned with. And then I'm a big fan of when you're on the block and you personally pull yourself down, even better. And, you know, I like how she's not a showmance girl. I'm very against showmances. So I was excited to see her come off the block. And I knew some fireworks were going to happen after that. And who doesn't like the drama that comes after?
Yeah. The key part of that was Cody, and he was the central figure in this episode. I think it's been really interesting to watch because he has had this, really wild run here as the first HOH. Today is what, Alex? Day 15 in the Big Brother house?
Yes.
Today's day 15. Tomorrow's going to be day 16. He became the HOH, what, on day two? I mean, this is real. I mean, Alex, in terms of Big Brother as it goes on every year, is this an abnormal amount of time for somebody? I know it's over a week, the first week, but I mean, he's been really HOH for 2 weeks straight now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that abnormal. I mean, it's usually at least a week and a half. I think this may be like a little bit pushing it. Just in the nature of like how they did Cameron's eviction and that whole thing. And, you know, maybe they played HOH right away after that, as opposed to waiting a couple days. But yeah, I mean, it's always like well over a week, because that whole, you know, first week they're building footage for
but
that.
But this is
night,
over so. 2 weeks now.
Yeah, that's probably, he's probably a record. I'll give you that.
Longest,
I mean, it might be
HOH.
By a couple days, but
longest HOH run in history. Yeah. Unless we're getting into the stuff where people were like not HOH during the double eviction or something like that. But anyway, so I want to talk about Cody, because he's this central figure. And Morgan, what I'd love to know from you is, do you feel like Cody is getting a good edit, bad edit, or fair edit based on everything you've seen?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think he's getting a pretty good edit. I don't know. I'm not a live feeder, but I've, you know, scrolled through Twitter and I've seen some of the stuff that he has been saying, and it is very questionable, some of his comments. And you know, obviously that's not making the edit. And
yeah, you know, that's a fair point. In terms of the way I was talking about the question, I wasn't really talking about in terms of the comments that he's made. And you
right.
can certainly look those up. He's made some comments. He was talking about transgender people. He talked about how he went down to Ferguson because he wanted to be there. Again, I don't know if those stories are apocryphal or if that is an actual true story, if he's trying to be outrageous. But I was talking specifically about his gameplay.
Oh, right. You know, I think he's gotten just I'd say a fair edit with his gameplay. I mean, he's pretty hard to read, in my opinion. You know, like, they're, I think, showing what he's giving the audience. Like, people try and talk to him, he doesn't give them a lot. And, I just don't really know where he's going. Like, it's for me, especially when the veto came up, I was just like, why obviously throw that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's a little questionable for me. But I do think he's getting a fair edit.
Yeah. Alex.
Yeah, no, and that's why I agree. I think, you know, it's fair to positive, like Morgan's talking
right.
about, because, yeah, I mean, they could have made it so obvious that it looked obvious to us that he threw that veto, but they really could have made him look more dumb about it than they did. I mean, it was kind of brushed over, whereas, like, you know, in the house, it was kind of talked about, at least on the feeds, like maybe they weren't sure about it, and maybe that's why they didn't make as big a deal about it. But how were they not sure about it? I mean, this seemed like such an obvious throw. It was so bad. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of instances we could point to where they really could have, like, given Cody some, you know, stupid music or done some stuff to really make it look like he's just totally ruined this week. And if anything, they've just given him like weird serial killer music.
Yeah, they've really played up a lot about his reactions to things, which has been a very funny way to treat it. My question, Alex, for you is, again, this is about the live feeds, but not necessarily about a spoiler. This is the show tried to present, I feel like, tonight, a love triangle, or not necessarily a love triangle, but certainly a triangle between Cody and Alex and Jessica, where the show painted Jessica as being hashtag jealous Jessica, and that Cody, for whatever reason, is taken with her. Now, I have never heard Cody say anything to imply that he has romantic feelings for Alex. It did seem as though that Jessica seems to have this odd hatred for Alex, which we saw from the previous episode. She was calling her Pow Pow, but it seems like that she really resents the fact that she has so much of Cody's attention. Alex, from what you've seen, is this a jealous Jessica situation?
Well, I mean, obviously, we don't want to get into live feeds because a lot of craziness unfolded after the events that culminated this episode.
But what about leading up to this?
Yeah. So like earlier this weekend, right? Like Friday, Saturday, I think this was definitely a thing. And obviously it's exasperated by what we saw there in the episode when he calls Jessica Alex in bed. That's not very good.
Yeah, actually, I have that clip if you want to hear it.
Oh, my God.
Well, Alex, I did not mean to say that.
Yeah.
Did that.
She didn't seem to get that mad. Moment. Yeah.
I think she internalized, like, how could she not be? I don't know if she, like, maybe just tried to tell herself that didn't happen or something. But, yeah, that's, like, the worst. If she wasn't, like, having issues with Alex before that, like, that would certainly exacerbate something that was barely there.
Yeah.
But I don't think Cody really does have, like, romantic feelings for Alex. I think he really respects her as a player and all this stuff that he's been saying in the diary room. Like, I take that at face
value. And I don't think he does either, but does Jessica believe, is this based in that she is concerned about Cody or Alex as someone who could steal Cody away?
I would think, at least from the game perspective, yes, probably true.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's why she really does seem to be, like, committed to Cody. Like, she's put all her eggs in that basket, so she needs to make sure he's loyal to her if she's going to be loyal to him like that.
Morgan, how do you see this saga with Jessica? Do you feel like that she is concerned about Cody looking at Alex as a Jessica replacement?
You know, I think she is a little concerned. I also don't think she thinks he's romantically interested, but I think at this point she has made it so obvious that Cody is her ride or die. They're labeled as that. And I think she's scared that all of a sudden Alex is going to swoop in and take away her game. Like, she is very early on made him her person. So, I mean, it makes sense that she's a little worried that Alex is going to take her quote unquote ride or die.
Nobody gets in between me and my man, Alex. Apparently. That's right. I did feel like that Jessica was the person who came off the worst in all of this, because Cody, while he does come off as a lunatic, I do admire that he's being somewhat rational in terms of, like, I'm always saying about, I don't like it when people just sort of write off a bunch of people, you know, especially from the get-go. So I do like that he's playing both sides. He's been way too sloppy about it, but I like the fact that he's, like, you know, he's kind of put her up on the block, but he's also trying to, you know, keep that door open. So I admire the ability to sort of try to, you know, reconcile their differences. But Jessica, it seems to me, is the person that's coming off as the most spiteful in this whole scenario.
Well, what he's doing is very entertaining, certainly. I mean, you know, the fans have to appreciate what he's been giving us with his gameplay. I mean, I think for a week one HOH, it's not exactly what you want to be doing. But, you know, I think it's interesting. I mean, it could go a multitude of ways. I think, you know, at least at first, Cody will take the bulk of the heat for this kind of a, like, rash reactionary decision. But as the game progresses, if Cody's able to ingratiate himself back to the group, it could be a situation where Jessica is more hung out to dry simply because she's guilty by association.
Now, for the things that Cody at least has the right idea about of trying to reconcile with Alex, he's really botched the Paul situation, where he hates Paul and doesn't want anything to do with him. Now, Morgan, certainly you had a scenario in Big Brother OTT where you have just one person coming into the house with a bunch of new players. Now, Cody seems to be the only person who really is adamant that Paul needs to go. How do you feel like Cody is handling everything going on here with Paul?
You know, I agree with Cody on this one. I don't understand why other people aren't seeing Paul as this massive threat. I mean, he made it so far in the last game. Great social game. All that. Why is no one else, you know, realizing that? It seems like everyone is playing the Paul game and they want to be his best friend and they want to take him all the way. And I mean, I don't think Cody's necessarily doing it in the best way, but I have to give him props for being the only one who wants him out of that house. Do I think, I mean, I don't think he's doing it in the best way socially. Like, at least pretend like you like Paul, you know, if you really do want him out, because he might stay, you might need him or so, but I mean, he's just giving Paul nothing. So I don't think socially it's great, but I do agree that at least he's trying to get him out.
Yeah, I actually did agree with the move to go after Paul initially, because I felt like it could have been something that might have been able to unite the house in a way to say, like, hey, this guy already has his time. And, you know, this is usually a strategy that backfires, but at least I like the idea of being able to unite the house about something that he knows everything. He's going to win if you let him get further. We could have gone together and taken him out, but the way that he's handled it here to target Paul after he's made all of these relationships, mm-hmm. it really seems like that was the sloppiest way to handle it. And then to not even imagine that America might have given the pendant of protection to Paul.
Yeah, I think that those are two huge flaws. And then also, right, I mean, just to not bring your alliance into whatever decision you're ultimately coming down on. I mean, you have to, if you're a fan of this game, and he certainly claims to be, you have to know that your power stops after nomination. Like, if you can't rally the votes you need to get him out, it doesn't matter what you do. So the fact that he just kind of, like, you know, left everyone in the dark, like even Matt, who's supposed to be one of his closest allies, is in the diary room talking about, like, I have no idea what he's going to do. And he had talked to, like, Jason. Jason knew what he was going to do, and that's not his alliance. So it comes off as really sketchy to his alliance. It makes his alliance look sketchy to Paul, because, you know, how could they not know about this thing? It doesn't make any sense. And it really just, yeah, it leaves him in a position where he's just got more damage control to do after 1 week than he could possibly recover from.
So one of the big moments from the episode was the Cody veto throw, which we had been hearing about for some time. Obviously, those competitions, we don't get to see them on the live feeds, but there had been a lot of talk about how Cody threw the veto. But I don't think any of us had any inkling, Alex, that it was going to be as odd and as obvious as it ended up being in the episode.
That was the worst veto throw maybe I've ever seen in my entire time watching Big Brother. That was so bad. He just stood there looking at his two starfish. Like, it's already a losing hand. Like, Alex hasn't finished, but, like, everyone else beats your two. So you can't even pretend that. I don't understand how. Like, feeds came back and people were speculating about if Cody threw it. It blows my mind that it was ever a question now that we've actually seen the footage.
I mean, Morgan, wouldn't it have been so easy just to, like, at least pretend to be stacking the starfish and then, oh, it fell down again. Oh, it fell down again. I mean, he just stopped in the middle of the competition and just started staring at the starfish.
Right. It literally makes no sense to me. I mean, I will say from a viewer, like an audience, I loved it. I thought it was hysterical.
Sure.
Because it's so entertaining. Why are you just sitting there? You have 2 minutes left. At least, you know, stumble, trip, do something. It's almost like he wanted people to know this. Like, let's make it a little more obvious. I just did not understand. It's like, did he want people to know he was throwing this? Because, I mean, clearly everyone knows now.
Well, he was, I think, signaling that it was a throw. Now, who he was signaling it to, that I don't know. Back in Survivor the Amazon, I got busted for, I was trying to throw a competition, and I was really, I ended up signaling it too strong because I wanted the people at home to not think I was stupid and blowing questions. But I don't think that that was the case here for Cody. I feel like that he wanted people in the house, potentially Alex, to know that he was throwing that competition. What do you think of that, Alex Kidwell?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think he definitely, you know, he had a talk with Alex right away. That seemed to be something that was important, is he was trying to do damage control. He made the decision after nominating her, but before the POV, that he didn't want to see her go. So during the POV, it sounds like when he realized, like, he wasn't going to beat her anyway, he made this conscious decision. And then, yeah, at that point, he really wants to bring her in and make an ally of her. So he's doing everything he can, probably too much, to bring her in at the expense, again, of further pushing everyone else away. And yeah, can we just talk about how Kevin looked like King Triton?
Yeah, no, I mean, Kevin is fantastic. Part. We could do the whole show about how great he is. Here was Kevin setting up this competition for veto.
What would the veto competition be without a little temptation?
Ooh. What would it be?
Really giving that snake voice temptation guy a run for his money.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, Kevin's fantastic. So ultimately, we see Cody, that he has this plan and he wants to put old Banana Beard up on the block. And so he goes to nominate Paul. And then this was, Morgan, almost like somebody played the hidden immunity idol on Survivor. We ended up with the pendant of good God, that's the pendant of protection's music. And Paul can't go up on the block.
Jeez.
He got Mutombo.
I just wish we could replay Cody's face whenever he did finally find that out, because that was, I could replay that again and again. It just, someone make that into a meme.
Yeah.
But it's just, I have so many mixed emotions about that. But my thing is, okay, you want to put Paul up and you weren't going to tell your alliance about that. Let's think rationally about this. Why not go back on your plan, put up Jason or Ramses, whoever, what they wanted. Like, your plan already backfired with Paul. And then instead he goes and puts Christmas up and just creates even more than more drama for himself. So, I mean, I get why, but Cody, come on.
Yeah. Well, he has so many side deals. Also, we got to see a lot of Whistle Nut tonight. But I think that production loves Whistle Nut. I don't know if I'm feeling the Whistle Nut yet. I think he was really hamming it up. But we got to see a deal with Cody and Jason now, where he is promising him safety if he keeps 7 people off the block next week.
Yeah,
it's one hell of a deal.
And it was. It was extra bizarre in the sense that the only conversation, that was the morning of nominations, and the only conversations that Cody had were with Jason and with Alex. So, I mean, he really played this all kinds of wrong. I mean, he left his alliance feeling, you know, Paul's going to be angry at everyone he thinks is in on it. Christmas is going to be angry at everyone she thinks is in on it. Everyone who looks like they're in on it is going to be angry at Cody. Everyone's angry at Cody. Jessica's angry at Cody. I mean, like, it's just, you know, to have the first HOH blow up this spectacularly. We've seen some bad week one HOHs, but I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this.
Yeah, this might be one of the historic HOHs that we talk about, Morgan, for a long time about the, you know, well, this first HOH, they can't blow it as bad as Cody was doing.
Right. Well, and he what, nominated a third of the house already?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poor guy.
A lot of people. So Christmas ends up going up on the block in the place of Alex. And poor Christmas got screwed, according to Cody. Christmas did not really have a lot of airtime in this episode. She ends up really just coming up at the end where she's having the conversation with Paul. You know, we've been talking about from the feeds that, you know, Paul and Christmas have been working together. So Christmas becomes the replacement for Paul. That's the reason why Cody goes for her. What did you think about Christmas going up on the block for Cody?
Talking
Morgan,
to me?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I guess his rationale is he wanted out Paul so bad. So I guess it, for Cody's sake, Christmas is automatically associated with Paul. I guess that makes sense. But dude, like, you want everyone in your alliance to really hate you even more. I guess I just don't get why he did it. I don't get why he didn't tell any of his alliance members about it. It's like he wanted everyone to blow up on him. So now it's just like he's ruined that with this alliance. He's ruined it with Paul. He's ruined it with Christmas. So I don't know where he's going to go in the next week, honestly. And I think it's going to be a pretty split down the middle type vote.
Yeah. Alex, were there any hints that Christmas was going to be the nomination? Did he tip his hand to anybody?
No, because he didn't even realize that that was a possibility. I mean, he really was completely convinced that Paul did not have this temptation, that Paul was going up, that his master plan was going to work out. And I think, you know, I mean, this is, again, we've talked about a little bit on some of the feed updates we've done this week, but this is the problem when you don't consult anybody. You end up going down a path and nobody's like saying, but what if this happens? Like, you don't end up thinking things through all the way because you're not bouncing ideas off anybody. And so as a result, he ended up in a position where he was like, oh, Paul can't go up. And he had no backup plan. Nothing had been discussed. Nothing had been prepared. And Christmas is someone his alliance doesn't want to vote out, like, as far as we know. So it's a very dicey move that he made with absolutely no preparation.
Alex, leading up to that point, was there any speculation in the house about who had the pendant of protection? We saw some people throwing the target onto Josh's back, who was also pretty invisible tonight. Is that the prevailing wisdom in the house, that Josh had it?
Yeah, I mean, Josh, or, you know, I mean, there were some other people who had been speculated. But really, everyone had come to the conclusion that Paul's name had become in the clear magically. I don't know how that's possible. I mean, if you're a fan of the show, you should know that, like, well, let's see, how far in this game are, like, they've seen one, maybe two episodes. Nobody could get it but Paul. It doesn't make any sense. There's no way anyone is known as an entity enough that they could beat Paul on a vote at this point in time.
Now, Morgan, we saw Paul got the Pendant of Protection on Sunday night, and then he picked a number out, and that was going to correspond to the Den of Temptation curse, which was going to show up this week. And one of the house guests was going to randomly be getting cursed, and we saw that that was going to be Ramses. Poor Ramses was bitten by the Den of Temptation curse. First off, what is your reaction to the way that this is being handled in terms of Paul picks a number and a random person now has to sit on the block one of these first three evictions?
To me, it just seems like, I guess, like you said, so random. Why not? I mean, he gets this temptation. He takes it. Why not make it a little more interesting and have him choose someone? To me, it's just like, oh, pick a number. It's random. That's just not as interesting to me. I think they could have done it in such a way to where he could create more drama and, you know, choose someone. Whereas now it's just a random person and it ended up being poor Ramses. And who knows what he's going to do about that. But I don't know. I think it could have been twisted in a way to where it did create a little more drama for the house instead of just being a random number.
Yeah, of all the house guests for a snake to backfire on, I would have not guessed it'd be the one named after Pharaoh of Egypt.
Yes.
This is the world we live in.
Alex, who had the best reaction to the snake?
No, it all seemed kind of fake to me. It was hard for me to distinguish one from the other. I guess maybe Paul, since he just went in there and didn't pretend, right? Yeah. He was just like, snake den and chill or whatever. Like, yeah. All right, you're...
Morgan, for me, I do think that the top reaction was Cody, who had no reaction, did not sell the fake snake.
Yeah, I see the snake. I don't care.
Is anyone surprised by that?
Yeah.
What did production think they were going to get from him? Like some kind of,
I don't know. And worse for me was Whistle Nuts. That guy, I mean, that stop it that you're afraid of the plastic snake. Stop it. Stop it. Like, oh my God, I don't want to put my hand in there. Why did it have to be snakes? Stop it, Whistle Nuts. Stop. You're not that scared of the paper mache prop in the Den of Temptation. Stop it. This is
Whistle Nut. Raven's reaction was pretty good too. I'll give her.
Yeah, what did
Hers is almost as bad as Whistle Nut.
Don't overdo it. I don't need you to be extra with the Den of Temptation snake.
Keep it subtle.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. that's the one thing for Cody. That's one.
Yeah, I see the snake. I don't care.
Yeah, but poor Ramses. Isn't this intense that he has to put himself up on the block here one of these first 3 weeks? I mean, do you see any value in him going up on the block this week, Christmas versus Jillian?
You know, and I thought that one through, and this week, I don't know if he should. At this point, I wouldn't if I was him. I think it's so controversial at this point. People would be like, well, we don't know if we want to vote up Christmas. We don't know about Julian. Well, Ramsey put himself up. Let's take the easy decision and just get him out. If I was him, I'd probably wait. Maybe someone in his alliance would be HOH. There'll be a unanimous vote. That would be easier. But for him, I don't know. I think it would be a little too risky to do it this week.
Yeah.
Especially with all the fireworks.
Now, Alex, we talked about this in the spoiler section the other night, how unfair of a twist I think this is for Ramses to randomly have to go up here in the first 3 weeks. But when does he have to announce it? Does he announce it on eviction night or is it announced at the veto ceremony?
It sounded like from the way that Snake worded it, that he has to announce it before a nomination ceremony. So I don't know if that means like a regular nom or a renom, or if it just means at the start of a week, like right. But I think I get the impression that it's going to be during a ceremony, that he's going to stand up and do this.
Okay. Yeah. Ideally, you'd want to do it before the nomination so you could play in the veto ceremony. So,
right.
Well, maybe he'll catch a break and end up nominated one of these 2 weeks. Does that count, Alex, or does he have to then nominate himself if he doesn't get nominated?
I don't know.
There's a lot we
don't
know.
There's too many clauses here.
This is Schrodinger's curse. There's a lot that we don't understand.
Snake addendum B. I don't know what that says yet, or whatever these.
There's a lot of stuff that we don't know. You know, it's mind-boggling to me that we have Jillian now. This is the fifth hour of Big Brother that we've seen tonight. 3 hours last week, and then Sunday night, and then Wednesday night. And Jillian, who's up on the block against everybody, is not really a factor in this show, Morgan. What are you thinking of Jillian so far, and how she's been playing through, I guess we've only seen... what is it like day up to day 10 or so in the game?
Yeah. Jillian, to me, I guess a word to describe her is just pretty forgettable. Like even like today in the veto competition, the only thing I remembered from her was her face planning in that one little clip they showed of her. And I think that kind of describes Jillian in this game so far. Just kind of that perpetual pawn. And thinking about this week, if the house guests were, in my opinion, smart, they'd keep her because she's going to be that person who, again and again, could be that person to go up. But for a viewer standpoint, I'd rather just see her honestly go home. I think she hasn't done too much, and I don't see her doing much in the future.
Yeah, I don't think we saw anything from her on this episode except her saying, like, and I'm not going anywhere. And we're just like, but how? What? How are you going to accomplish this when we're not seeing you do anything?
Yeah, I mean, she's just so... just there that it's almost like you start to think of reasons why they would get rid of her. Like it has to be the biggest mistake in the world to get rid of her, because other than just being a number for the other side, I mean, that probably the only bad thing that's happened to her in all of this is that Cody has advocated for her to stay. And it's almost like that the house is not so much wanting to get rid of her for anything that she wants to do, other than the fact Cody decided that she should stay.
It's crazy. I am with y'all completely. Why? What is she doing here? In my opinion, is you're on the block. I haven't heard her even campaign. It's like, is she comfortable there? Is she just getting used to being there? Like, I want to hear her, you know, almost fight for her life. I mean, nothing's guaranteed. And here she is just being like, well, it's my third week on the block. Like, here I am again, but I want to see more from her, but I'm just not getting that.
Yeah.
And especially right after that ceremony, you have Christmas, like, you know, storming after Cody a little bit, like, get, you know, puffing her chest out, going outside and starting to lift like crazy weights. It should be a pretty easy sell, Jillian. Just be like, look, see that? I can't do that. Yeah. Like, that's all you got to do.
Well, one of the biggest takeaways that I had, after we went back and did the Big Brother 2 audiobook, that the best strategy for being on the block is probably playing dead. I think that this is the best way to go. The harder you try to stay, the more the house wants to get rid of you. But I wonder, in this bizarre scenario where you are on the block for 16 days, somehow this is backfired. But I think it has much more to do with Cody wanting to keep her, Morgan.
Right. I do agree with that. I'm definitely there with that. But I'm just ready to see Jillian play some kind of game. Anything. Give me something, girl.
We'll see. Anything. We'll see. All right. Let's get into some questions, and then we'll talk about the live feeds in just a few minutes. This is from John Densford, Den Dollar. I know we just watched this strategy fail, but is there ever a situation where not saying anything is a good move? So I'm assuming that John is talking about the moment where Cody was brushing his teeth and Paul was talking to him. I mean, I do think that, you know, they say like in a negotiation, the first person to speak is often the person who is losing that negotiation. But Morgan, is Cody taking it too far?
I think it's the most entertaining thing ever. So I say, Cody, keep it up for entertainment. But I do think he is taking it just a stretch too far. To me, it's almost like he's at this point kind of doing it on purpose. Like, I feel like that's kind of what he thinks is his gimmick. But at some point, you can give them a sentence, like something to work off. You don't have to blow your whole entire game plan. But to me, by him just not saying absolutely anything, it's making it a little obvious of we like, we dislike.
Yeah, because I think that the exercise, he has it a little bit backwards. The idea is to not give anything away, but I also feel like that you would like to, in a perfect world, win that person over and have them walking away feeling like you gave them something and not ending up feeling like you've offended them.
Well, especially when you're HOH too, right? I mean, because you're in the position where you hold all the cards. So when you have leverage, if you give up some of that, like seemingly ceding some of what you have, and they're left like, you know, they'll take a promise because they can't offer anything in that moment and you can offer everything. So, you know, if you can somehow negotiate that in a way where they feel legitimately indebted to you and not just like you think they're indebted to you because you did this for them, then that's really ideal. I mean, the other thing this question could be referring to, obviously, is like the strategy of nominating someone without telling your group alliance, which like in that case, I think maybe there's a place for that, but it's certainly not this early in the game, right? Like there's potentially a way we've seen it like maybe at like 7 or 8 or something like that, where like if you decide you're about to flip the game and you like gather another group of numbers and like your alliance that was your alliance, like there are definitely times where this is a decent play. It's not week one.
Right. Morgan, can you just speak to that a little bit in terms of in the early going of Big Brother, where you really want to just try to, you're learning everybody's sort of like frequencies and tells. Don't you want to sort of like reassure people in those first few days?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that first, 2 weeks, first couple of days, anything is so important, I feel like, and in my game, was to get people to like you, even if you don't want to work with them, like, especially being HOH, like, get people to, you know, just enjoy having you there. Like, you don't want to just give them absolutely nothing, because then going forward, say you need to work with them, they're going to remember, oh, remember when he was HOH and stood there brushing his teeth, giving me absolutely nothing to work with? Like, to me, it's so crucial. Even if you don't want to be friends with them, work with them, you don't like them, just to make them like you those first couple weeks is extremely important. And I think that's something Cody has no care to do and is not doing.
Okay. Let's go to Logan, who wants to ask, did Paul have to reveal his protection was for 3 weeks, or he could have left that out? Alex, do we know that part of the rules? I know everything is very fuzzy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say with 100% certainty, but I have to assume my understanding is that when that, you know, hit the screen and Paul was then at that moment forced to put on the pendant, you know, and probably going forward with all temptations at the moment they're triggered or whatever, at that moment you have to explain the rules to everyone of the item you've just played. I mean, similar to like when Matt Hoffman pulls out the Diamond Power of Veto or some of these other items that, right, well, some of these other items that have been put out in Big Brother seasons in the past, where like at the moment of playing it, that's the moment where you do have to reveal to everyone like exactly how this thing's gonna work.
Yeah, I did think that the actual mechanics of it was interesting, where they showed it up on the screen, but Paul then actually pulled it from his pocket. And Morgan, I'm interested to know that if the pendant of protection does become a thing, I do think it has some upside in terms of being an item that is given out at different points in a season of Big Brother. Do you feel like that we will have Big Brother players, as we do on Survivor, sort of like looking, oh, well, like what's that in that person's pocket? Do we think that this person might have the pendant of protection? And could we have people walking around with like jamming like the remote control from the HOH room in their pocket and then walking downstairs like, oh, I better not nominate them. They might have the pendant of protection in their pocket.
Right. Exactly. I don't know if it'll be a thing. I think there's so much paranoia in Big Brother. Like, I can easily see this turning into something where you never know with these twists. It could be something that is every week and they have no idea. So I think it'll be interesting. Are people going to get paranoid that there will be a weekly pendant of protection? And I think it would be hysterical if someone actually did fake it and, create even more drama in that house. But I don't think it'll be something that reoccurs, in my opinion. But I think it would be very interesting if there was a lot of drama around.
Yeah,
that reoccurring.
Alex, now we don't have Chrissy to go into the Big Brother rule book tonight to get us this answer. But if we could a player potentially make a fake pendant of protection?
I mean, yeah, going forward, that's what I would do. I mean, if there's going to be a temptation every week. But the problem is, like, you're kind of, a hidden immunity idol looks like it's kind of, you know, nature-ish. And then there's stuff out there you can make it from. What are you going to make it from in there? Like tinfoil and, I don't know. Like, there's not a lot to work with in there. Floss, maybe floss. Is like,
I mean, but you probably have like an existing necklace in the house that you can sort of like, you know, yeah, doll up
true.
A little
that's
bit.
A thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. See if Dominique has something you could borrow or Christmas or somebody who like, yeah.
I don't think
got
it's
anything.
Insane.
Maybe I can.
Right. I think it'd be interesting.
Or,
to know.
You know, here's another survivor related question that I was wondering. Like, if Paul didn't have it in his pocket, if he had like left it in his bag just around the corner in his bedroom, is he not able to play it? Or is he like, I'll be right back. 1 second. Just runs around and gets
it. Well, that was my other question. Did Paul have it on his person from the moment that he got it? Or does he go get it from production prior to the veto meeting? Because if he did have it on his person, what would have stopped somebody from going through his bag? And do we think that could potentially be a thing, Morgan?
I feel like that whenever he did receive this, they gave him specific rules that went with that. Like, every meeting, you have to have this on you because you don't know what will happen. I feel like it's something along those lines.
But
anytime
knowing what you know,
group,
do you feel like
right.
that he was like the power of veto doesn't stay in the house, right? After the veto ceremony, that power of veto is collected. So do you feel like that Paul was just, you know, he doesn't hold on to it and he just gets it back in the diary room right before a ceremony? Or do you feel like that he probably had that in his bag the whole time since he got it?
I think he does have it in his bag because even I don't know about other seasons, but for OTT, the veto is just hanging in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there to always be seen. So I feel like Paul probably did have it. And honestly, it'd be interesting if he doesn't hide that sucker carefully. Like,
yeah,
anyone could come across that. So I think that's probably they did give it to him. That's just an added challenge that comes with that temptation is you better hide it really well.
Okay.
Yeah, that would definitely be some tricky editing, if not, because, I mean, it really looks like he gets it in the Den of Temptation and it leaves with him, and then he's pulling it out at this meeting. So if there was some, like, give it to production gives it back to you stuff going on there, like, they certainly didn't imply that at all.
Okay. Johnny DeSavera says, is it possible, unless he spills the beans, that Kev's 25K is the only temptation that stays secret? That's probably something that we're going to talk about when we get to the live feed. So let's try to come back to that question if we can later on. Ari Ferrari wants to know, what do you think of Cody's strategy of brushing his teeth during the important strategy sessions? Morgan, I mean, what do you think? Is that something that is there some wisdom here? I like to think about okay, this is counterintuitive, but maybe it's good. Okay. Somebody wants to have a meeting with you. You're brushing your teeth. It does sort of buy you some more time if somebody asks you a difficult question where somebody is like, am I going on the block this week? You're like, oh. Okay. And then you can buy yourself like 30 more seconds to go spit and rinse and then come back and like, great question. So glad you asked me that. No, you're not. Unless. Come up with a really good answer.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that technically could be good, but you see Cody doing this. He doesn't hold up a finger. He doesn't act like he's thinking or gonna give them an answer. He's simply just staring, brushing his teeth. So I think, in theory, it could be good. Like, he could have worked that out a little bit better, but
yeah,
he didn't even spit and say anything. He just kept brushing.
Yeah, George Costanza didn't like to ever call a woman unless he was eating an apple. I feel like that would be good also because they're like, oh, I'm choking. Hold on, let me just like. So it's good. I think you need a prop that helps. All right, Eric Colston says, who from the Big Brother 19 cast does Morgan think could be an honorary ball smasher? Is that an honor that you would bestow?
Ball smashers.
One, I love that you played that. Okay. I want nothing more than after this show, I want to see Kevin, because he has like some long locks of like luscious hair. I want to see Kevin do the Boss Master hair flip. That's my dream. So if I had to pick someone to be an honorary Boss Master right now, it would be Kevin. If I had to pick a girl, I think I would go with Dominique. I think she's a super strong female. She's my girl pick as of now. So Kevin and Dominique. Go get you a hair flip. We'll see how good it is. And please be a ball smasher.
Alex, how long would it take to explain to Kevin, not only the ball smashers, what Big Brother OTT is?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that would
wait.
Probably
are you telling
longer.
Me that there's a see they have it and it's not on TV.
Oh, boy.
What?
Yeah, no one should ever explain that now.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Kevin learning about Big Brother is some of the best stuff we've gotten on Feed so far.
He's great.
It's a lot he's been behind the eight ball on.
Let me do one more question, then we'll go to the live feed. Stephanie wants to ask, is this the longest we've gone in a season without a named alliance? Alex Kidwell, is this possible?
It's kind of been a while. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since we had something like that. People have thrown around some names lately on some live feeds for things, but... nothing really seems to be sticking. I think it really stems from this week one HOH who is adamantly like, it's not alliance. There's no alliances. Like, we're a group that's going to get to jury, but there's no alliances. Like, this notion of having alliances is kind of taboo in this house. So as a result, like, no one's really embracing it and romanticizing it and giving it some cool name.
Yeah. I do think that that's typically a thing that comes from, just going through it. I'm trying to think. That's a good question to get in the comments. All right. And before we get to the live feeds, tonight's live feed update is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox sends you great tasting, better for you snacks right to your house. They send you a care package if you want to eat better when it comes to snacks. Sometimes it feels like the whole world is delicious and a billion calories versus boring and tasteless. Alex, how do you deal with that temptation?
Oh, it's tough, Rob, but,
no,
you know,
easy.
NatureBox
it's
is there.
Easy. NatureBox. Go right into the kitchen of temptation and pull it right out. No curse that comes along with that, because NatureBox has over 100 snacks that taste good and are better for you. All the snacks are made from high-quality, simple ingredients, which means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel good about what you're eating. I love the nutty clusters. I love the dark cocoa nom-noms, the Big Island pineapple. Check out everything that they've got. It's fantastic. You're sure to find your new snack obsession at NatureBox, and they add new snacks every month. I actually really like NatureBox because I track everything in my Fitness Pal, and I just scan the back, and it's got all the information on the NatureBox right there. It's simple, too. Just go to naturebox.com, choose the snacks you want. They deliver them right to your door, all inspired by real customer feedback, and there's no risk, unlike any of these temptations on Big Brother. If you try a snack you don't like, don't eat it. They'll replace it for free. Right now, you'll save even more when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. They're giving our listeners 3 free snacks with your first order at naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP for 3 free snacks with your first order at naturebox.com/RHAP. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to jump into talking about the live feeds. If you are hopping out now, of course, you can rejoin us on Thursday night after the eviction. Ian Terry will be here. And for the live feeders that are ready to go, we're going to get right into it. And let's queue up the spoilers coming up here on the recap.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Spoilers. Okay. All right. All right. Spoilers. Spoilers are coming. All right. Of course, that the Big Brother live feeds are recapped on the daily, pretty much, that Taryn Armstrong, Alex Kidwell, a score of others have been going live. What do you guys, noon Eastern?
It's been noon Eastern. Yeah.
Noon Eastern.
Facebook Live.
Okay. Check it out on the Rob of the Podcast Facebook page and also in the reality TV Rehap Ups and Big Brother podcast feed. All right. So let's talk about the live feeds, and we'll just go through all of the headlines since the last show. But where we left off here tonight was that we ended up with Christmas on the Block. But Alex Kidwell, it's been a rocky week for Christmas, the nominee.
It's been a crazy week, especially for Christmas.
Some people have said that she really already has 1 foot out the door heading into this eviction show.
How long are you sitting on that one?
Just from when the episode was on.
Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about it earlier. Christmas for someone who just went on the block, pretty invisible on Wednesday. I have a feeling she's going to be a major player in Thursday night's episode. There's a lot that transpired, and Christmas at the center of a lot of it. Coming out of that eviction or that ceremony, you know, she's mad at Cody. Cody's like taking heat from everybody. The Alliance doesn't trust Cody. Paul's mad at Christmas because he doesn't understand Cody's "you got screwed" comment. He thinks it means that like Christmas threw Paul under the bus. So even Paul and Christmas aren't on the same page. There's just chaos following the ceremony. And we're going to spend a lot of time on that. Eventually, Paul and Christmas get back on the same page. And, you know, Matt and Raven and some of the people that, you know, Cody are close to are adamant. Like, I'm not voting out Christmas. Christmas, you have my word. They give her their word early and they've stuck to it ever since. The next morning, as typically happens in the Big Brother house, music plays. Apparently every day when the music plays, Jason and Christmas have been doing some like some high end dancing, like really cranking it up to 11 with the music in the morning. And they played "Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy," and Christmas is riding Jason around the house. And Jason slips in the backyard and breaks his fall with Christmas's foot. And now Christmas, she's out of the house like pretty much all day Monday. She comes back, she's on crutches and hell of a lot of painkillers. And then, you know, basically she left again today to get an MRI. It turns out she does have two broken bones in her foot. They're going to let her stay if she wants to stay. She's tough. She wants to stay. But going forward, doctors are going to tell her if there's competitions she can't play in, assuming she does stay tomorrow.
Yeah. I really feel like that this is such a positive for Christmas, assuming that she stays through this eviction and it, you know, signs are pointing to the fact that she will survive Thursday night. Morgan, to me, that I thought that Christmas was going to be very capable and I worried about her as being a threat in terms of people were going to look at her and look at what she has been able to do, you know, physically in competitions and that people might be intimidated by her. But now to have be on crutches, what a godsend, I think, for her game.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think it is going to possibly hurt her if she can't compete in these competitions. But now not only does she have a sympathy card from people, hopefully, but she's now no one can use this "she's a huge threat" card against her because now she has a broken foot. She's not this CrossFit champion. Super muscular because now she's not this physical threat. So if anything, I think this has really helped Christmas out. I mean, it sucks she has a broken foot, but it could possibly turn out well for her.
I think it helps her so much in terms of that one, the thing that we're talking about in terms of not having to be a threat in the competitions. Brent brought up both of these points this morning on the live feed update, talking about Tyson, how that was such a key part of his win in Survivor Blood versus Water, where he, I forget if he like threw his shoulder out, he couldn't move his arm. His arm was in a sling. John Party is another person goes on to win after getting an injury. Brent mentioned Missy in Survivor, the second Blood versus Water, where after she, you know, she ends up making the final three after twisting her ankle and being on crutches. So people won't look at her as a threat. Also, she becomes such a sympathetic figure in terms of America and voting. I would be very surprised. Now, first off, that Christmas already has, you know, a huge Instagram following. I think she's like 300,000-400,000 followers on Instagram. Morgan, I'd be very surprised if she does not win a temptation, if not this week, then the week after.
I definitely think.
Especially 100%, I think, an ally of Paul, the most popular house guest in the house.
Exactly. So if anything, it's a telling sign. Paul got the first temptation. Now Christmas gets injured. She's also associated with Paul. I can easily see her getting the second one, which I don't know if it would be the best for her to receive. I'm not sure, but I easily see her getting this one.
Yeah, and the second temptation.
I agree. It's a terrible one for Christmas to get to replace someone in a veto competition that maybe you can't physically compete in anyway.
Right. So just reset that for people that don't know what the second temptation is.
Yeah, what's it called again? I forget. The alliteration of something.
Is it the ring of replacement, I think? Yeah.
The ring of replacement. That's it. Yes,
there
thank
we go.
You. Okay. Yeah, so the ring of replacement allows the recipient to swap out with one of the people randomly selected to be in a POV competition. Obviously not the nominees or the HOH. They always get to play. But yeah, I mean, you know, potentially beneficial for someone like Alex, who could potentially find themselves being backdoored by a large number of people in the house that now saw like, oh, maybe we can't put her up outright. The ring of replacement could be very good for her because it allows her to play in the veto and make sure she can protect herself that way. But for someone like Christmas, it's almost like the last thing you want because there's really you know, I can't think of a large number of scenarios where that's really going to benefit her in the early stages of this game.
Right. But we'll see ultimately if that changes her stake in terms of moving forward. But first, she's got to get through Thursday night. Alex, could you help us sort through this vote count right now? So we have at this point in the game, is it 15 or 16 house guests? It's a
15.
Okay, so it's 15.
Cameron and Megan left. Okay. Yeah.
Cameron and Megan are out.
Paul came in.
15 are in, and now 12 will vote. It'll take 7 to evict. 6 will be forced to tie, where Cody will get to vote. So what is the vote count looking at for 24 hours from now?
So today, at least as of the time that we started this podcast, was the first day since Feed started that the votes have remained the same, and, you know, like, things haven't flipped around. So it seems like maybe lines are starting to solidify a little bit, but that could change. I mean, you know, there's some people that haven't had some conversations where if they did, there could be a blow up and things could rearrange. As of right now, though, it stands where it stood at the end of the day yesterday, which is 7-5 to keep Christmas. Paul, Matt, Raven, Dominique, Elena, and the most recent Mark have all, like, promised their votes to Christmas, and that's 6. Alex, Ramsey's, Jessica, Jason, and Kevin, being like the last one to come over, all seem to be on board with keeping Jillian. The big swing vote is Josh.
Again?
Yeah, it's Alex, Ramsey's, Jessica, Jason, and Kevin. So Jessica and Cody really have, like, fully separated at this point. I mean, the vote will make it official, but Jessica and Cody, I mean, they think they have the numbers. They do not. They think at least some of their alliance is coming with them. None of them are. And they're going to find themselves in with the people, the very people they were targeting at the start of this week.
Yeah, it is really odd how this whole thing has come full circle, where Jessica and Alex are on the same side of trying to keep Jillian. Morgan, the Big Brother game, it comes at you fast.
It is insane. And it's funny because it'll change the hour before an eviction. I can't tell you the amount of times, like, I thought I knew something was going on, and 1 hour before, it completely changed. And that's Big Brother for you. So, whereas what we might be seeing now seems pretty solid, I have a good feeling before tomorrow, I think a lot of things are going to happen within those few hours before that eviction is when people are going to start getting cold feet, I feel like.
Okay.
And start flipping what they think.
Now, Alex, as you were alluding to, Josh is a big swing vote. He was such a big presence back on the second night of the show.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah. And
this guy's now the pivotal player.
But then since that point, he really has receded from our view on the TV show, and he has not been, you know, as crazy as when the feeds first came on. But he seems like he has calmed down and starting to get his feet under him a bit. Could you talk about what he's thinking going into this eviction?
Yeah, well, I mean, he just benefited. Other people had their paranoia blowups after his. So his becomes more and more of a distant memory the further away you get with other people having similar meltdowns. Josh was someone, he was a bit of an uncertain element, I think, at least like up until this morning. He really had promised his vote to both sides. He was the one person. I mean, other people had kind of talked about it, but it really seemed like it was hard to gauge where Josh stood because he was very adamant with Alex and Jason that he was going to vote with them. And, you know, same with Paul and Christmas, that he really had their back. And it wasn't until earlier today, where he spoke to the cameras very early this morning, that he told us he's definitely keeping Christmas. His plan is to work with Paul and Christmas long term. And so it was today that, like, I don't think anything shifted with Josh, but it was today that we really got a good understanding, like, okay, Josh seems to be really on board with keeping Christmas, which means it's probably a pretty solid 7-5 vote, and Jillian's going to go home. Cody's not going to be able to break the tie to send Christmas home the way he thinks he is.
Okay. So, Morgan, talk to me a little bit about Paul and what you've seen from him. Do you feel like that he has done a good job through being in the house now for 2+ weeks?
I thought Paul was playing really well up until probably, I guess, like today, yesterday. And now, to me, he's just playing really hard, really quickly. Like, I'm just like, why do you feel the need to play this hard? He has 3 weeks of safety. What are you doing, Paul? Like, you were sitting in such a good place. You kind of had the ends with everyone. Everyone liked you. No one really wanted you out, minus Cody. And then all of a sudden, you just see him, like, in everyone's ear and having, like, now he wants to be HOH and have everyone throw it to him. And to me, I just think it's unnecessary. And it's just makes me question, like, why? Why do you feel the need to play this hard when you have so much safety?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to know if, is it something about just being in that house? Is it just the momentum that I don't get it? This was everything that we worried about with Paul. And when the feeds first came on, I watched a video of Paul. He did his friendship chat. And I said, boy, Paul, I think really gets it. I'm wondering, could we see this major evolution step forward in Paul where he now goes on to potentially be in that tier of really great Big Brother players? And I'm really starting to have my doubts, and nothing personally against Paul, but that we saw everything we worried about of he's going to play too hard. He's going to be safe. And he's saying that he wants to be the HOH. Why can't he see this, Morgan?
You know, I think Big Brother gets to your head. I think it gets to your head. And as soon as you start feeling comfortable, I think it's really easy to crave power. Like even in my game, like I wanted to lay low, but part of you deep down just wants to win and you want to have that control. It's something that Big Brother does to you deep down inside. And it takes a lot to think, be like, okay, like that's not the best for me. Here's my game plan. Like I need to lay low this week. But to me, I think Paul is just itching. I think it's in him to, you know, kind of be the center of attention. And I think it's getting to him. And, you know, I thought he was in a really good place. And now I'm not thinking that as much.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I just want to say, like, when I was a kid, you know, I would babysit sometimes in like middle school and high school. And I got the impression, like, at least when it comes to like kids who play video games, right? There's like two kinds. There's ones that want to play on like their difficulty level. Like if they're good, they want to play on hard. And there's ones that, like, even if they're good, they just want to play on easy every time and just crush and just dominate everything. And I feel like Paul right now is getting to play Big Brother on easy, and it's getting to his head, like Morgan talked about. Like, everything is set up too well. And then this thing happened where he gets to be like, aha, you thought you were sending me home. No, you're not. And now he's just, like, king of the mountain. And that, how can that not go to your head a little bit? But he's letting it go to his head way too much, where now he's doing what people have dubbed on Twitter as vetsplaining to everyone,
yeah,
where
funny.
He's teaching all the new players exactly what they need to do and why they're doing things wrong. And it's just not good.
But for Paul, do you see this scenario? And I said this in the comments of the Facebook Live today, half joking, but I also think it could be a possibility where Paul potentially shooting himself in the foot and ending up in a bad spot. Could this ultimately be a net positive for Paul, who I think it's safe to say is a player who feels more comfortable coming from behind and trying to being in that underdog role as opposed to a person who is seen as the person running the show, because he seems to not be able to handle having control in the house?
Right. And I think right now he wants that control, and I don't see it working out for him. And I'll tell you, like, as soon as you realize you're an underdog, it lights a fire under your ass like no other. And I can see, I think Paul under pressure, when he realizes he's in trouble, he can win and he will win. So, I mean, it honestly could benefit Paul in the long run if this does blow up in his face.
I really think it could, because I feel like that Paul's whole attitude is, what? You thought you could come after me? You thought you could get your boy out of the house? Well, you got another thing coming. It's hard to have that attitude, Alex, as the person who is running the show.
Yeah, and then, I mean, going forward from this meeting, I mean, a lot of what we've heard from Paul in really all his conversations is just, I mean, he's playing like a different player now. Like, I understand he was shocked by this thing. Everybody was. But, you know, his knee-jerk reaction has been to mistrust everyone and just assume that they all knew about it, which, like, makes logical sense, but I don't think you can just tell people to their face, like, no, you had to have known about it. I don't trust you now. Like, you're going to have to earn my trust. Actions speak louder than words, and this action proved that, like, I'm all by myself in this. Like, these are things you can think but not say if you want to be able to cross these bridges later. I think he's just, like, it was a lot of emotional reaction to something he didn't expect to have to deal with. I think he was really loving also, like, the mastermind edit he thought he was getting, where he was going in the DR saying, like, I've got 3 weeks of protection. I'm not going to even have to use it because my social game's so good. And then the first opportunity, it turns out he does have to use it. And I'll bet that kind of, like, that's a little bit of humble pie that he didn't feel like he was going to be eating week one. So that's probably an element here, too.
Alex, Doom Tribe in the chat brought up a good point about what are going to be the ramifications of this split vote. Assuming that 7-5 holds, we are going to end up with a very surprised Cody and Jessica seeing that their alliance did not vote with them. So what do you think the fallout of that looks like?
It's really interesting, and it's just gonna, I think more than anything, the one thing you can guarantee is that the immediate HOH tomorrow night is going to be hard fought for, because a lot of people think they know which way this is going, and they don't. Even some people think they know which way this is going, and they do, but they're way off on the numbers. Like, Paul thinks he knows that Christmas is staying, but he thinks this is going to be like 9-3, and so a 7-5 is even going to mess with his head. So a lot of people are going to go into this HOH just really fighting hard. I hope it's an endurance thing that we get to see on feeds, because that would be great. And that's what a lot of them are, I think, banking on, too, which is why Jason was ever a target, being the idea that, like, the rodeo clown can hang on to things for luck. Like, people come up with whatever reason to nominate people, right? But so, I mean, yeah, I think the competition should be really interesting. And then we'll see a lot of people. I think it just makes sense for them to, you know, go after Cody and Jessica. But increasingly, there's some people who could win, like Alex, like Jason, who they're like, you know, they had like three chances to put us up and didn't. So maybe they won't target Cody and Jessica. It'll be interesting to see what direction some of those people would go if they won.
Morgan, it's going to be such a crapshoot tomorrow that all these people are playing HOH. Do you think a lot of people will be gunning for HOH after this crazy week? Or do you think that this will be a scenario where 8 or 9 people are throwing it, don't want anything to have to do with it?
No, I think this week is going to be pretty crucial for this HOH, especially because the fireworks, the drama, it's been such a split that I think no one saw coming. It's like no one really knows where everyone's head is at. There's not one solid alliance anymore. So I think this HOH is going to be very interesting. And I hope someone wins this HOH that no one expected. Like, I would love to see, honestly, Josh win this. Like, what on earth would he do? Like,
That
would
was
be
my
such
prediction
a turn
from
of
last week that, that Josh is the week two HOH. Write that
That's
down.
Perfect.
Yeah. I do think that would be, you know, because he's so high energy and all of the steps that he's made in the right direction will just all come undone. And we're going to see, you know, whoever gets this second HOH is going to just be mad with power because it's such a F you to Cody of like, you were HOH for 2 weeks. Now it's my turn. And they're just going to be like going nuts about going in the room. And I think it's going to be interesting, Alex, to see Cody, who's played this game. Cody, who's played this game now for 16 days as HOH. Now have to see what it's like to not be HOH.
Right, especially because unlike some people who play HOH really well and like anyone can use the room and they'll sleep downstairs and let other people have the bed and stuff, like Cody has really spent a lot of his time in his HOH room. Like, he has kind of made that his place, and him and Jessica stay up there a lot now. So that, he's going to have to go back down with the peasants next time, and we'll see. Okay. See how that plays
all right,
out.
Let's take some more questions from you guys. This is from Emily Crow, who wants to ask us, when they told Paul he's never wrong, did that include picking Nicole instead of James?
Sick burn.
According to Paul, that was not wrong. Your boy would have lost to either of them because the jury wasn't mad at James. So
I don't know if we can sign off on that.
I'm telling you, according to Paul, he was not wrong about that.
I hear you. Oh, I did also want to point out just that, you know, Paul, he's getting, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, in the last couple of days that they want to throw HOH to Paul. We talked about Paul wants to win, and it seems like people at least, you know, are saying they would be down to let Paul win. But I do feel like this vote is going to change that up, where some people are going to be like, the knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, it's not what I expected. I have to win. So, you know, talk is one thing. I think when it actually comes down to it, we'll see a lot more people really trying to win that competition.
Andy in the chat reminds me, Johnny's question about Kevin's $25,000 being kept quiet. Will anybody find out about that? No, that everybody probably will not keep quiet about that, Alex.
Well, he told Paul.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because as of right now, he's not voting with Paul. So if that comes out, what incentive does Paul have to keep his secret? And just in general, how long does a secret like that last in Big Brother? I mean, less than, you know, not that many days. I'm surprised everyone isn't talking about Dominique, the nuclear engineer, already.
Why? Who did she tell that to?
Who did she tell it to?
So Paul, right?
Yeah, it was just one person. But yeah, I mean, it hasn't really come out yet. There's these little things like that could still drop and shake things up. You know, like there's all these conversations, obviously, that happen. There's a lot of people still on different pages. So things could change, but so far today they have not from last
time. Okay. Mr. Robot Taryn wants to know, what was scarier, jumping out of a plane or waiting for Julie Chen to read the finale vote on BBOTT? Morgan, you jumped out of a plane?
Yes. So yesterday, guys, I found a Groupon for skydiving, and it was pretty cheap. And I was like, well, when else am I going to find a
Groupon? That's what they say about skydiving. They say, you know, if you're going to do it, find the cheapest one you can.
Find the cheapest one and go on a whim. So I bought it and I asked my friend to go and he was like, yeah, okay. So we went skydiving on the 4th. I didn't tell anyone either. I think like my mom wanted to murder me because I bought a Groupon to go skydiving. But no, I was definitely way more nervous sitting on that couch waiting for Julie to read that. I was shaking in every inch of my body. But yet, I was pretty chill jumping out of an airplane. So that just shows you how nerve-wracking Big Brother is.
Because I feel like there's a lot of fireworks also on the 4th of July that you might not have on other days.
Not so friendly fire.
Yeah, I went during the day. I did ask them about that. And they're like, yeah, no one's died yet. So I was like, okay, I think I'll be okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, since Big Brother OTT, you have now moved to the West Coast.
I have. I'm in LA now, living here with Shelby.
Yes. How's that?
It is more fun than I ever expected. It is Big Brother. It's our HOH is all over again. It's us being a married couple. We grocery shop together. We drink wine together. Like it's just funny. The friends you meet in Big Brother, like I was a stranger with this girl 6 months ago and now we live together. It's just a bizarre world. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Big Brother. I guess I can thank you for my friendship and me winning.
Yeah. Friendship. That's the hashtag. Yeah. So in terms of like being out in a new city and then being a reality TV person living with another reality TV person, are you guys connected with a lot of other people from these shows?
Me more so than Shelby. Shelby's the interesting one and she had her time on Big Brother and now she's just kind of over it, which props to her, Shelby.
Cared.
Like, is anyone super surprised by that? Yeah. Love her to death. But I mean, she's a lawyer. She does lawyer things. But no, there's been a lot of great people out here. I did that interview with Jason. So I did. He's moved out here too. So I got to see him. And that was the first time we had done any press since OTT, which was very bizarre, but it went really well. And I know the Nolan twins are out here. I haven't seen them. But it's the Big Brother community is incredible. And they always, you know, in Shane's speech, he said BB fam and everyone was like, what? But no, it actually is a Big Brother family that you don't really realize you're in.
It's a very dysfunctional family. Yes.
Very dysfunctional, but I'm very thankful to be a part of it. Everyone's been so freaking fun. So it's been awesome.
Okay. Let's take a question from Riley Rage. Morgan, what was the hardest part about playing Big Brother that you least expected?
I didn't expect the stress. I went in there and, you know, I was the one, Alex was the serious gamer. I was like, this is going to be fun. This is summer camp. But what you don't realize is it becomes your life. Like when Alex left, she didn't just leave. It feels like somebody dies. Like I thought my sister just died. Like I was going to have her funeral. I was never going to see her again. And you don't expect to get that wrapped up in a game. Like, I forgot I had family. I forgot I had friends. I didn't care what they were doing. You just care about the game and it becomes your life. And who would expect that? But I mean, when you're locked in a house with 12 strangers, it gets really stressful really quickly. And I never saw that one coming.
Okay. Lisa Michelle wants to ask, is it inevitable that Christmas will get this week's temptation and will she accept it? Alex, you mentioned that this would be a rather poor temptation for Christmas to get. Do you see any possibility that she could say thanks, but no thanks?
Not if it continues to be what it seems like it's going to be, where all the curses, the drawbacks are, you know, given out at random. I mean, I think the only explanation for that is that they want people to take 100% of the temptations, because there's really no reason not to take a temptation. If you know somebody's going to get a curse, but you just know for a fact it's not you, like, all right, cool, let's do that. And then even if it comes out later that it was you, it was random. So you'd be like, well, I just didn't think it would be you, man. I'm sorry. Well, you know, it's a really easy sell.
Now, let me ask you this, because I thought of this during the episode, and maybe let me defend the random part of the curse here for a moment. Okay. Was it important for Big Brother to set up and establish that, hey, this curse is random, and then have the opportunity at a later date to change the curse to not be random, but have the house still under the impression that it was random? Alex, would that be something that they would potentially do?
They could, but I feel like if they really wanted to incorporate that, then the potions should have had names on the back and not numbers. And we should have known, like really sell it to us that this is not random. Because as far as I'm concerned right now, like, you're trying to convince me it's random, but like there's obviously ways it could potentially not be. Like, it's not the most clear cut thing right now.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's thinking that production wanted to go out of their way to, you know, do the Montreal screw job to Ramses. Right. I don't think so. Okay. Katanga wants to ask, who stands to lose from voting out Jillian? And Morgan, how do you regain your footing after being on the wrong side of the vote? All right, so let's take that in two parts. Alex, who stands to lose from voting out Jillian?
The people that, as of right now, are voting for it, because they're going to be the ones hung out to dry when everyone's trying to figure out who voted for who after she's gone. You know, I think Alex and Ramses and... you know, Jessica, these ones seem pretty clear. I think most people know Jason is going to vote that way. But Kevin is really the one I think that could potentially experience the most fallback, because Kevin seems like he's going to be voting on the wrong side. And a lot of people would never see that coming. I think Paul is going to be hurt by that. And if Paul's coming out guns blazing for HOH, you don't want Paul to feel emotionally, you know, like he can't trust you, like he can't work with you. Conversely, you know, it could be Josh if the other side wins, because Josh, like I said, has promised his vote to both sides. And that's going to be something I think that people are pointing to if the vote goes against
Morgan.
Them.
What about being on the wrong side of the vote? What do? You're sitting there. You voted with the five. The seven is prevailed in the vote. How do you end up going into the next day or so?
Well, our case was very different because our house was so split. So when you were on the wrong side, you just stuck with your side and the other side stuck with their side. And so ours was a very different situation because the sides really didn't intermingle at all. And I think I don't think there ever was a vote that like intermingled. But in this case, it's a different situation. I don't know what I would do. And my best bet would be stick to your sides, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that probably is your best bet. I wouldn't go around trying to twist any words. I mean, honestly, own up to it. That's probably your best bet because they're going to find out eventually.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky. I know Big Brother OTT is such a different animal than the main, you know, or the regular Big Brother proper. I just think that, you want to sort of not have it be a secret in terms of how you voted. But I feel like that the most you can sort of try to own what you did and sort of just get out in front of it. I think that's probably the better way to go. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do a couple more questions here with Morgan. This is one from Shay X5. Why hasn't Dominique gotten any screen time? She's playing a great game on the feeds. Why isn't it being shown? Alex, almost universally, Dominique is somebody who has been praised by people who have been keeping up with the feeds, yet she has had very little airtime. In fact, that she's had just like a couple of diary room reactions to different things, including tonight that they threw her a bone to say, like, as a God-fearing woman, I didn't know there was going to be snakes in the house. Just like the, you know, one of those things that, you know, the reactions to different things. So what?
Yeah, they told her to say that.
Why hasn't Dominique been featured more on the show?
You already answered it, Robbie, because she's playing a good game. If you're featured a lot right now, that's because your game, like, look, the people who are being featured a lot right now, it was Josh because he was blowing up his game. It was Megan because she was leaving. It was Cameron because he was leaving. It was Paul because he's the new veteran. It's Christmas because she's going on the block, or because, you know, she's, you know, or for whatever reason. It's the people that are, you know, exploding. There's people that are going down in flames left and right that we're really seeing the most of in week one. I think the fact that you're not seeing Dominique speaks to the fact that production knows they don't have to show her stuff yet because she's not going anywhere anytime soon.
You don't need to be flashy in the first month. Fat Tyson wants to ask, who should replace Morgan as the host of Big Brother Bath Time? Morgan, who would you like to, who would you like to see as again? That's on the live feeds.
Okay, guys. Oh my gosh, can there ever be another Bath Time with Bikini Girl? Okay, if I had to pick... Well, Dominique's already got her talk show going on. So Dominique, go sit in a bathtub, put on a bikini.
Okay, good. So
you're
then we're
workshopping
the Dominique. We're fighting two problems here. Yes. Dominique's airtime, and then also trying to help get views for the Dominique talk show.
There we go.
So you get in the hot tub.
Put on a bathing suit, more people will watch it.
Right. And then we get Christmas to come in and ask people showman's questions. That's really the ideal way.
And then she'll be the new Shelby. So Christmas can be the new baby wrist, except she doesn't have baby wrist.
Okay.
And then Mark can get offended about the showman's
right. Now,
questions.
Mark can't fit in the bathtub with another human being, but you know, we're on our way with that.
The bathtub ends up in the downstairs bedroom.
Yes. Curtis asks, hey, guys, do we have a sense on which way Kevin and Josh are voting? Alex is projecting a vote to evict Jillian for Kevin and a vote to evict. I'm sorry, a vote to evict Christmas for Kevin and a vote to evict Jillian for Josh. Big Brother World says, I'm confused. Why have none of the LFC tried out for Big Brother? Well, I think that that's probably a better question to ask for an LFC roundtable, Alex. Have you ever considered applying for Big Brother?
I've thought about it.
Okay. We'll see.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe sometime down the road. Then, I don't know. I'd be the old guy in the house now, though. I'm almost 30.
Logan wants to know, did you think the alliances will realign after this week? Morgan, do you think that things will reset?
I don't think so, honestly. I think at this point, people have kind of chosen their people, and I think that's probably going to stick. I think the big giant alliance might split into two, you know, sub-alliances, but I don't see any complete switcheroos. I think at this point, people know who they can trust. And I think they're going to stick with that.
Yes.
Could be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. I think if a select few people were to win HOH and do some unconventional stuff, like that would be the thing that would shake things up. Because like you said, like at this point, people really know who they click with. Like we've seen the people who get together for conversations, like they're pretty well established, like which people are close with who. But, you know, one thing that I don't think we've touched on that we probably should is that Paul, you know, has said that his plan, he's being kind of Cody-ish with this thing. He's like, he's got a plan and he's not telling anybody. For if he were to win HOH tomorrow. And it sounds like what he wants to do is backdoor Cody, but like put up one of the other couples because he still doesn't trust that they didn't know about this stuff and he wants some answers. Matt and Raven have been insanely loyal to Paul and Christmas. And it sounds like that may be where his head is going. If he were to win HOH and put up Matt and Raven, I mean, that really would shake everything up again. So that's one of the few scenarios I could see where really would like, it would set everything off all over
again. All right, Morgan, when does Big Brother AfterBuzz kick off?
We are still working on finalizing the panel. Whenever it is finalized, it will be Thursdays at 9 p.m. But you can tune in tomorrow, AfterBuzz. I'm going to go on their Facebook Live at 4 p.m. before Thursday's show. And I'm going to do a recap and give some of my opinions so you can check me out on that.
Okay. So you're going to be on there live with a couple of panelists. Will you have other Big Brother guests?
Yes, we will have Big Brother guests whenever we do the after show. I've got a few people in mind that I think would be really fun. So stay tuned on that one.
Okay. Check that out. Thursdays at 9 p.m. Pacific on AfterBuzz. And we got one other question here for you. This is from Paul Borges. He wants to know, who is this season's Virgin King? We know that it's not Cody.
Later,
man.
They were joined by their Virgin King.
Yeah.
That never gets old.
Never.
Is he in sequester right now?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Honestly, like, if there had to be a Virgin King, it would have to be Cameron. And so I'm going to say hashtag bring Cameron back so we can have him. But yeah, definitely.
I think that there is definitely a battle back that's on the table for this season. It seems like that nobody's been able to spot Cameron back in the wild just yet. What's better for Cameron, Jillian or Christmas potentially for a battle back? Already take Megan off the board. Now we have the possibility who would be the better matchup. And ironically, these were the three people that could should have been in that first matchup that night one. Cameron was the one. He voted originally. I want to face one of these people in a challenge. They both said, no, let's let it go to the votes. He will get his wish. Potentially.
That's redemption story.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I'm thinking his, well, I don't know.
Jillian
Christmas
or
a cast
Christmas
now,
on Crutches.
So.
Who is he rooting for?
It's a real crapshoot at that point.
Yeah, at that point, it's like you might just take 50-50 and hope, fingers crossed, Cameron, because who knows?
Yeah.
One's on a cast and one, I question.
Yeah, it was so clear before. It is funny to hear how the conversation has changed now that Christmas is in the cast, because Paul's trying to, you know, like Paul's talking to Jason and saying, like, Christmas will fight for us. Like, she's going to compete. And he's like, she's lame. Like, he's like using horse terminology. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to shoot her now that she's down the line.
Yeah, right. Christmas, she should be at the glue factory. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you could start to like, you know, if there is a bracket, you know, you have to get down to, like, if we assume that there's going to be a battle back and if we assume it's going to be around the time of the jury, if you really wanted to paint that Cinderella story of, okay, well, you don't have to go through Megan now and then potentially Jillian or a Christmas on Crutches could be an easy win. He could advance, so it's still out there. Okay, let's see. Drake Belt, how many fans will think Paul got to leave the house to film Candy Crush? Is this going to be a major problem, Morgan? Are people going to be very confused?
I don't think so. I mean, Candy Crush is pre-taped. He could have easily done that before he went in the house.
We know that. But how many, if we go to the CBS Facebook page on Monday, it's going to say, this is bull crap. Well, how come Paul got to leave and go play Candy Crush? Obviously, he got to go talk to Devon. She's been watching the whole show. She's going to tell him everything.
Production let him watch feeds for a day or two.
Right.
He got to eat candy.
Oh, this is true. So we might be this smart, but I guarantee you there's a solid 50% of the population who are probably going to not think that one through and think that.
Mario Lopez gave an advantage in the game.
Yeah. If they don't come out and say that, okay, this was taped. This was Paul was in the big front of the house. Like, we got to get like the inset of the live feeds of Paul in the house, in the backyard while Candy Crush is going on. All that and more will be talked about Sunday night with Matt Hoffman. That's why we got to do that one live. So we're going to do Big Brother, then Candy Crush, then the podcast. So be on the lookout for that Sunday night. Ian Terry and Brent Wolgamott coming up on Thursday. Of course, if you want to get your hands on the Big Brother live feeds, you've been listening along and you want to watch them for yourself, there's an endurance comp coming up sometime in the future. You want to jump in, you could use our link, robhasawebsite.com/livefeeds, or click on the banner on robhasawebsite.com. All right, Morgan, where should people follow you? Twitter? Where do you tell people to go?
You can follow me Twitter @Morgan_Willette. I interact with a lot of fans on Instagram @MorganLee, LEIGH Willette. Or
what do you do on Instagram when you interact with people? That you post a picture and then the people comment and then you talk back to them?
Yeah, or a lot of people DM me and I love messaging them back.
Like, you DM with people on Instagram?
Yeah, why not? Oh, like if a they lot of work. Say something. Well,
nobody's ever DM'd me on Instagram. I don't know. I don't know what this is like, Morgan. Maybe I should.
I've gotten some questionable. Well, I don't answer all of them.
Oh, you don't say, really.
I don't answer all of them, but some of them are like interesting. Like, a lot of people ask where I buy my clothes, and no, guys, if you're curious, ask me. I'll tell you.
Boy, okay, there you go.
It's a rough life.
Okay, Alex, has anybody ever DM'd you on Instagram?
I don't think they have.
Yeah,
guys, I'm gonna DM both of y'all tonight. Okay. You,
but my Instagram game is admittedly the weakest of all my social media platforms. So,
all right, we need a hashtag for tonight. Alex, you got anything?
Not really.
All right.
Oh no, don't ask
okay.
me.
All right. In honor, let's get out in front of the hashtag Candy Crush confusion coming up on Monday.
Yes.
This is gonna be a major problem we need to warn people about on coming up on Monday.
You know it will. I mean, people still will tweet survivors like, how are you tweeting right now when you're out on the island? Yeah. Like, it's been 35 seasons.
You know what? It would be funny, though, that if somebody like on the Facebook page, like replying and just like getting the ball rolling of like, wait a second. Hold on. And people are like, yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's right. That's right. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday night. OK, great stuff. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night as well. Of course, check out the Big Brother live feed updates. I've been so happy with how those shows have gone. We've been using a new platform on Facebook Live where you can ask us questions. We can post the questions right on the screen on our Facebook page at robhasawebsite.com/Facebook or facebook.com/robhasapodcast. So be on the lookout for that. And we've got plenty more coming up on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.